On this week's episode of Bro Apostles, do I need to hold off on a family if I want to get a PhD? Should I throw everything that I own into a river and hop on a freight train and become a hobo? And what do I do if my wife doesn't want me to go to mass because she's pro-LGBT? All this and more on this week's episode of Bro Apostles.
Welcome to Bro Apostles, an advice podcast for Catholics who take their faith seriously, but not themselves. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Boy, it's been a week.
What do you mean?
Not much has happened to me personally. I just mean like in the world. It's been kind of a week in the world, you know, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. I think if men are struggling with that, they could go to the freedomgroup.co to deal with it. But we'll talk more about that later.
We need you to go to the freedomgroup.co.
They're so good, and they've been so good to us.
And anyway.
We'll talk about it more later. Can I tell you something good that happened to me today?
You had something good happen to you. That's good.
I went to the local. You know what? It's actually very Republican. I'm a political activist, you could say, because every Tuesday and Thursday I go to the YMCA, and yeah. I do the little as I walk through the doors, and I play basketball, and I'm at the point where I've played for I don't know how many months it's been. I moved here in June. It's almost October, so however many months that is, 3-4 months. I know pretty much all the regulars. Everybody there knows me. There's this guy there named Bryce, and Bryce is like the nicest guy, but he's so fast and he's good at basketball, and just because we're about the same height, we always get matched up against each other.
Sure. Yeah.
And I told him, because it was the third game, he showed up late and I was already gassed, and then I just know when I guard Bryce I have to run a lot. And it's like, oh, so the third game was just me running, basically following Bryce around, trying to prevent him from popping off, as the kids say. And the game's over. I go over to him and I'm like, dude, I hate guarding you. And he said to me, he said, dude, I hate guarding you. And I said, oh, tell me more. Tell me why I'm so difficult to guard. And he said, your shot is like KD, like Kevin Durant. Wow. And I was like, what do you mean? You mean like I make it all the time? He goes, no, nothing like that. You just shoot the ball really high in the air. It's really hard for me to defend. And I was like, I made everybody stop. I was like, guys, did you guys know my shot was like KD? Did everybody hear that? And Josh heard me. Josh was like, I got you, bro. You are like KD. I was riding high for, I'm still right. That was 8 hours ago, and I'm still living.
What's the height difference between you and Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant is 7 feet tall.
That's insane. Height? Yeah.
Yeah. Seven Bryce feet tall. Bryce is like 4 inches shorter than me. So it makes sense.
Is Kevin Durant the one who has,
he's the Slim Reaper.
Does he have my old profile picture as his profile picture on Twitter?
The Durantula.
You're not going to answer the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant has my old profile picture on Twitter. That's important.
So that's a good thing. I made a new rule that we're not allowed to talk about bad things anymore.
Really?
Yeah. So you got to say one good thing before we can proceed with the podcast.
Well, nothing bad has happened to me, so there's really nothing bad. I'm having a good time at my new job. That's what I'll say. That's what's good. That's what's good in my life. I'm having a good time at my new job. I wrote an article for Substack that I'm excited to post because I'm getting good feedback from my close friends, except for you because you haven't read it yet.
No, I didn't read it.
And I'm probably just going to post it tomorrow without you having read it.
No, you should post it. If your wife liked it, then I feel like it's fine. I don't even think you need a pass from me.
She like understood, yeah. Well, I sent it to Nick, my brother.
Fuentes.
And Phoebe and you. I figured that you can tell who's a Groiper and who's not based on how they refer to Nick Fuentes.
Yeah. Because
if they refer to him as Fuentes, they don't everyone who watches him regularly just calls him Nick like their buddies.
Nick. Yeah. It's very parasocial in that regard.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the old days of Ludwig, and people will be like, oh, Lud wouldn't like that. Ooh. Makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't like it when people have relationships with people online.
I am fine with parasocial relationships because I am a golden lab. I'm so excited to see you. And Ethan is more of like a pug.
No. This is so, first of all, that's mean to say. You're like,
what?
You're,
I picked, like, a dog with a small,
of the ugliest
nose.
Dog. No, you thought of the ugliest dog that you could think of in 2 seconds.
Pugs
and
are famously adorable and beloved.
They are monstrosities that have been created by man to affront God. Here's the thing. Why am I, finishers, why am I a pug?
You're and a boxer. You're a boxer.
Okay.
You're a little rambunctious and everyone hates you because they think you're a pit bull.
But here's the difference. Here's the Bropostles difference, and I'm gonna challenge you on this.
Okay.
For the people inside the community, like a golden lab. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, you want to watch a movie, you want to go for a walk,
you want to watch Over the Hedge with us,
do you want to talk about something? I'm there. You, on the other hand, are like a stray dog that is eating, and that you never come home. You never eat dinner with us. You never call. And it's just me. I went live on Patreon the other day.
I saw that.
You probably didn't even know that I was doing it because I care so much about our patrons, and you don't care about them at all. Because I'm a golden retriever and you're not.
Our beloved patrons. I will respond to stuff if I think about it.
You don't care, man.
I like talking to the patrons. I need to spend more time in the Discord. I'm sorry.
You should spend more time in the Discord because that's where all the ROI is for us. So I need you to get in there.
That's what the people who pay us money.
The people who pay us money are in there. If we want to reduce churn, I'm going to need to see your. Anyway, it is funny because out in the public lands, I'm disliked widely, but in the Discord and in the little podcast community, there's a small group of people that really give me a lot of grace and understand where I'm coming from. And that's nice. It's nice to have.
I was trying to think of, like, I feel like there's a Greek myth or some like classical example of a thing that changes based on who's perceiving it. That's gotta be like you see what you want to see.
Yes. A Eusebius sphere.
Really? Did
yes.
you just make that up?
No.
You did. You totally did. I'm going to Google it and you're going to be Eusebius sphere. Oh, look at that.
The Eusebius sphere is a
geometrical understanding of, no, I'm just kidding. It doesn't exist. Eusebius sphere refers to a geometrical understanding of the Earth's shape.
Oh. No. Am I right? Is it real?
It says most likely refers to.
Let's
this
go.
Is the AI answer. AI just made something up. Okay. Google AI made something up for Eusebius sphere. But yeah, you're a lot like a Eusebius sphere, but for stuff people want to hate.
Yeah,
that's you.
I want to talk more about that in the bonus podcast because we got to answer people's questions. And I think
we got to answer people's questions.
We don't need to get too deep into why every time I say something, it angers exactly 50% of the people that read it.
I would say it's more like 95.
Okay, let's. Anyway. There were a lot of likes on the original post compared to responses.
That's true.
So
that's true.
The silent majority.
I have found people misunderstand that with social media. They'll post and be like, all the comments are negative. It's like, yeah, but there's like 500 likes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like people are passively agreeing. Anyway, okay. First question.
Let's answer some questions. If you have a question, you can write into ethan@bropostles.com or you can go to our website, bropostles.com, submit a question on the form. You can also ask a question in the Discord and our AI harvester named Ben Eastman will collect it and drop it into the channel for us to read on the podcast.
In between feeding his new child, which is why
apparently he has a kid and we got mad at him for not putting questions just because he had a child. Sorry.
Okay, from sleepy time, maybe for the pod. I have a desire to sneak onto a freight train and just go wherever the train goes and just kind of exploring and seeing where I end up. I always kind of envision myself looking out of a train car at the stars. The problem is it's illegal and I have to work a 9-to-5. How can I fill this desire to do some sort of adventure in a real way? Don't tell me to like go on a hike or something because that's not really an adventure and it's a cop-out answer. All right. What do you think?
Patrick, I have this deep desire to take all of my belongings and put them in a bindle on a stick
to go waltzing Matilda or I want to put a
hunk of bread and a small slice of cheese in a polka dotted bandana and I would like to tie it up and put it over my shoulder and I'd like to wear shoes that have holes in the toes and my toes point out of the shoes.
I want to have a top hat
with the little flap
flapping up. It's so old. Are you familiar with the Waltzing Matilda song?
I have a feeling that I'm about to be made familiar with it, regardless of what my answer is.
Developed in Australian style of poetry and folk music, it's the country's unofficial national anthem. So it's about slang for traveling on foot, waltzing with a Matilda or a swag slung over one's back. So that's what the Australians call that little thing. They call it a Matilda or a swag.
I think it's very American to yearn to be a hobo. There's something about the hobo lifestyle that is very American, unrestrained by anything, complete freedom, except for you are restrained by where the train is going. But that's neither here nor there.
I believe the polite term now is unhoused hobo. So I think you gotta adjust your language there a little bit.
Hobos were always unhoused.
I know, but I think he's putting the unhoused first makes it seem a little more polite.
Yeah?
Yeah, we don't want to offend the hobos.
Okay. I think the thing about the hobo, he's different than your regular run-of-the-mill homeless. He's a vagabond who has chosen the lifestyle. You don't hop on a train casually.
Jack Reacher is a hobo.
Pardon?
Are you familiar with Jack Reacher?
Are you going to reference another thing to me now that I have to understand?
You should know Jack Reacher.
I was a Tom Cruise movie and also the show with the Alan Richardson.
It's funny that Tom Cruise played Jack Reacher because he looks nothing like Jack Reacher, the way that Jack Reacher is described. But yes, that movie filmed in Pittsburgh, one shot, it was based on the book One Shot. But Jack Reacher is an ex-military guy who just goes from town to town solving cases and sleeping around. That's kind of his deal. Yeah.
Hmm. I think what you are experiencing, Sleepy Time, I think I know your identity and I know what you're going through. You're just a single guy who is starting to enter into his career after college, and you've recognized that this is it now.
This is the adventure.
And so you're looking for a way to escape. And there are productive ways to escape the Matrix. And I'm not going to go full. And I don't think you should sign up for Hustler University necessarily. But I do think it's important to recognize that if you want to live by your own terms and in your own time, you have to either get really good at sales or start a business or invest successfully. You have to figure out how to generate wealth in some way or what you're proposing is to be so poor that it does not matter, to have so few physical possessions. It's possible that you need to explore vocation. That could be, I know some friars who all they do is hitchhike around the country and they just preach the gospel. That could be you.
Yeah. Perhaps the train journey that you want to go on is the ascent of Mount Carmel. You need to go deep into the interior life. I've been reading a book recently called And You Will Find Rest. It's from Sophia Institute Press. They sent it to me for free, so I feel like I should talk about it. But I read it and it's really good. It's this priest became a hermit and then he became a diocesan priest again. So he went and became a hermit and lived on like an old farm in North Dakota by himself. And he just did like Carmelite spirituality stuff. And then he came back, which is fantastic. Every parish priest should be required to go on a 6-year hermit sabbatical and then come back and run the parish.
Nursing babies be like, and you will find breast.
And you will find breast. Pirates be like, and you will find chest.
I don't have anything else. I think
that's about it.
That's enough for that question. It's okay. It's okay to feel that. Just make something productive out of it. Don't just feel it forever, because that's how you get depressed. And you do. And have you ever seen American Beauty? That's how American Beauty happens to you.
No, but I was supposed to watch American Beauty for a college class once. It was a psychology class at a community college. Mm. And the final project was we had to watch a movie and psychoanalyze one of the characters. Mm-hmm. And I was told to choose American Beauty, but the other option was Disney's Tangled, and so I decided to watch Tangled instead. I didn't want to watch a weird movie about a dad who wants to have sex with a teenager. I was a teenager at the time, and it felt uncomfortable.
It'd be really funny if your final was you had to like lay down, and the director would like drop rose petals on your half naked body, like that shot in the movie. And it's like
that is on the cover.
You can either write you can either write a report or you can come into my office after hours and I will drop roses on you.
Yeah, that actually was an option. He no longer works at that school, actually. Fun fact. He was the psychologist at the county prison.
Oh.
And he was like, "Yeah, man, you see some crazy stuff in there." And I was like, "I bet."
100%. 100%.
Anyway.
All right, let's do another question.
Let's do another question that's not about the various things that prisoners do to themselves and to each other. Maybe for the pod, if you change some details, a relationship question. I've been dating my girlfriend for almost 9 months. It's been really great. She's faithful, no big issues. We're really compatible. We currently are long distance. We talk every day. She plans to move closer for work. However, we have recently both been feeling a bit uncertain. On her side, she shared if she doesn't know if we bring the best out of each other, like how her friends do with her. We both don't know what it looks like to each other to bring each other closer to God and don't know if we're actually doing it. Additionally, I feel uncertain about the slow speed of the relationship. She has told me because of past relationship trauma, we're going slow. It's been 9 months. We haven't gone past hand holding and haven't said we love each other. Mm. Once again, I do not mind being patient to help her feel safe, but my knack for comparison to other couples makes me wonder if this is a sign that it's not going anywhere. This is my first real relationship, so I'm not sure if this is normal. We both agree to talk to outside sources. I'm going to a friend, but considering how helpful this community has been for me, I thought I would post here if anyone has had any thoughts. There we go. Okay, Ethan, what do you think about this relationship?
So you're telling me this girl feels like the best is brought out of her when she's around other girls. The relationship is going very slowly. She hasn't said she loved you and you're not being very physical with each other.
Does she also play softball?
I'm not saying.
That's sad.
I'm not trying to ruin your relationship.
I'm not going to say nothing to you.
I'm not going to say anything to you, but have you checked recently to see... I can't think of any other lesbian stereotypes. I don't know. I know so few lesbians in real life.
Does she hit you? Sorry. That wasn't a fun lesbian stereotype.
No, that's like a bad lesbian stereotype.
A bad lesbian stereotype.
No, I don't.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't think she's. I don't think.
I don't think she is either.
I'm just kidding.
It's a crass joke.
Yeah. Sorry. You can cut. You can cut. No, don't cut it.
Cut it out.
I own it. I own it. I own it.
I think it's okay to go slow in a relationship. I think you could say to her, "Hey, I feel like we're going really slow." Have you expressed that to her? You know,
have you said, "Hey, get over it and give me a smooch"? Have you said that?
No, it is weird. The thing that
I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Put up a red flag for me is that she feels like her female friends bring out the best in her, but you don't. That to me is not a problem with the relationship or with you necessarily. That might just be a problem with like her understanding of what the best is. Like,
sure.
I think it's fine to have fun with your friends.
You're also long distance. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, you're going to have a different relationship with your same sexed friends, you know, like you're going to have
vastly.
In fact, you ought to have a different relationship with your same gendered friends as opposed to your significant other. That should be a different... I don't joke with you the same way I joke with my wife.
If I loved my friends the same way I'd love my wife, they put me under the jail.
Nice. But, you know, it's... And plus, you're long distance, so you don't have that much experience with each other. But yeah. I do get it's kind of daunting to have her move closer and then find out, oh, you were right. Turns out, not compatible.
Have you considered getting on a freight train and traveling to her city?
Have you considered becoming an unhoused hobo?
A housed hobo.
Have you considered getting a top hat with the top cut off?
Just dressing like that while having like a job and a family.
Wearing just oversized pants.
And yeah, I have a coat that has patches all over it. And Emma's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "This is me. I've chosen this lifestyle."
Put my MacBook Air in a polka dotted handkerchief and sling it over my back. That's how I go to work. Oh, yep. forgot my charger. Got to go back.
I try to get my charger out and just hunks of cheese are falling out of my bag.
You're still packing food. So I don't know. There are a few. Like I don't think this is too cut and dry. It does seem like there's a couple of like, what's it, yellow flags, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't see anything that's too serious. I will say, you know, like the previous relationship trauma stuff, I don't know.
It feels fake.
It does. I don't want to say it feels fake, but I do think that.
I feel it. I don't know. Trauma is such a, it's kind of like you can use it for anything. Like, oh, I can't because that's traumatic for me, or yeah. I don't want to do this because it's, or I have to do this thing because of trauma. It's such an easy thing to throw out. And I'm not saying that your girlfriend is doing this on purpose, but she might be hiding. She might be afraid of intimacy and is just using this like trauma thing as a way to get out of it because she doesn't really know how to process something. And that is not good. And I don't think you should necessarily be patient with it, especially since it's been many, many, many months that you've been dating. So I think it's okay to encourage her and say, listen, I think you can just tell her that you love her, probably. I think that's okay if you do love her.
When it comes to the trauma and past relationship stuff, I think it's an important thing that we could talk about. My limited understanding of how the brain works is it's like your brain is a reaction machine. You know, it just teaches you how to react in certain ways so that you don't get hurt or you thrive, right? And so when it's like you build a habit of, she's gone through an experience where maybe she was physical with someone and there was a negative result. So she would do the thing, kiss, and then there would be some kind of, you know, she felt used or she felt dirty or she felt X or Y or Z. And so now when she thinks about going through that, you're like, oh, physical affection. My brain is going, oh no, that's hurt me in the past. I need to avoid it. There's a couple of ways to undo that. One would be to, you know,
you got to microdose kissing. You got to come up with the smallest amount of lip that you can generate for this woman. Just hit her with the smallest smooch possible, and then every day you increase. You push up the smooch thrusters by 1% every day.
Unironically, I'm not trying to say this to be cute. Will she accept a kiss upon the cheek or the hand or the forehead? I think.
Oh, and then you move closer to the mouth.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I say this because I think those acts of physical affection are perceived
not as sexually charged,
but also perceived as completely one direction.
Yeah.
Because when, from what I understand about women, which is a little bit,
no.
They're afraid of physical affection because of trauma, it's because they felt used in the past. This is like the perennial problem with men and women. Men don't want to marry someone who's going to harangue them like their mother, and women don't want to marry someone who's going to take advantage of them. And so, you know, when women feel like, you know, when women feel abused and they feel used, they start to recoil, or they even if they don't feel that way, they're living in that fear of being treated that way. And so when you go for a kiss, it's like, oh, this is two directional. So there's always that little thing in the back of their mind that goes, oh, he's only doing this to get something from me. He's doing this to extract something from me. Whereas if you give her a kiss on the forehead or the cheek or the nose, it's like, this is not, like, he gets nothing out of this. It's just because he wants to show affection to me. And that can kind of like break that ice, that block. And it's obviously something she wants you to break down. Like, I assume she wants to kiss you eventually. You know?
I know I do. I think you could, this is what, to all the men out there listening, Patrick is saying that all of your affection towards your girlfriend should be one directional. Okay? You should be doing it, and she should not. You don't have to wait for her to agree. You don't have to wait for her to approve. You just go for it. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that you should. I'm saying that you should blitzkrieg her face with kisses. Yeah, dude.
If you surprise her, if you kind of jump out of the shadows, and then you grab, and then you slink away. You know, there's no time for her to process the trauma, and then she's just like, "Oh,
you are the Luftwaffe." And her face is Warsaw, and you're just going for it.
we were talking about Sesame Street on the live stream that I did the other day.
Oh yeah.
And
so bummed I missed it.
we're talking about Kermit the Frog or the Muppets or whatever.
Yeah.
And Katie Ruvey said in the chat, she goes, Kermit was in SS, talking about Sesame Street. But I instantly went to Kermit the Frog being an SS officer, like knocking on the door.
At Grok, make me an image of Kermit the Frog as a...
in this, you are in hiding SS. Enemies of the state under your floorboards, are you not? I can't do a very good Kermit the Frog, but I was trying.
I won't do one. Go ahead.
No, it's not. It's neither. It's a hard voice to do if you aren't practiced at it.
Yeah, it's true. It's not as easy as Stitch or Gollum.
Dude, Stitch is so easy.
Stitch is easy. Stitch is the impression that one kid in your fourth grade class would do all the time. Oh, okay. Next question.
I freaking hated Dustin, bro.
Dude, if I could.
Oh, when I was principal for a day. If I ever won principal for a day, so I'm freaking one.
I doubt you won principal for the day.
Stupid Mason Morosis would always win. I hate that guy. He would wear pants. Whatever. It's not important. But I always wanted to be principal for a day so I could put Dustin in the freaking brig for a week. Sorry, Dr. DeMoss. I would buy a boat with school funds and put Dustin on the brig of the boat in the parking lot of the school for his Stitch impression. Whatever.
Next question. Does getting my PhD mean putting off marriage and having a family? Getting a PhD has always been something in the back of my mind. I'm okay with reducing my standard of living. Does it mean I have to hold off getting married? No.
No. No, it doesn't. This is, I'm not saying this is the dumbest question ever, but you...
It sounds like you are saying
no, this. I'm not saying this is a stupid thing for a PhD to say. What I am saying is I really don't believe there's any state of life that is not made better in some way by being married.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
If that is your vocation, let me be clear. So I just like, oh, like I'm going to be an underwater welder and it's going to be dangerous. It's like, well, and
when you're underwater welding, you're going to think about your beautiful children and you're going to, you know, you're going to do better.
Back in the day, most men died by 30 from labor or from war and they still got married.
I don't think that's true.
Back in the day, most men died
by 30.
By 30. That's why the life expectancy was so low.
No, that's incorrect. That's not why. It's because infant mortality was so low.
That's the midwit take.
That's not the midwit take. The midwit take is thinking that everyone in the middle ages died at 35.
You're crashing out.
The midwit take is thinking that Thomas Jefferson died at 38. When did Thomas Jefferson die?
It's such an own for me that you wear glasses because I just instantly look cooler always than you.
You got at 83. Psalm 90 says that we live, that he was like, our lifespan is 70 years. He said that in 500 BC.
Yeah, in Genesis, it was like Adam lived to be 1,045. So I don't know if we should necessarily take the Bible at face value.
Like when Socrates was alive, the life expectancy was 70 to 80 years.
Patrick, I have a question.
What?
Who is the most important person in the Bible?
Jesus.
And when did he die? How old is he?
33 by murder. That's a little different.
Sounds like men are dying young in the Bible.
Now who's the nerd? You're like putting on the affectation.
No, it's cool when I do it.
We'll let the listeners decide. Be a PhD and have a family. Who's
the midwit? Honest. Who is the chud? You guys.
Who is the chud? It's me. I'm the chud always.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
We're in. Do we have ad copy?
I'm stopped.
Are you stopped?
You told me to stop. I'm not moving until I go to the freedomgroup.co.
Go to the freedomgroup.co. you can get a 30-minute consultation with the guys that we interviewed a couple episodes ago. You probably heard it, and they can talk to you about what is keeping you in this cycle of pornography use. All right, you go to them, they talk to you, and they figure out what you need, and they prescribe a solution. It's not just a 30-minute, oh, like, how you doing? Oh, like, this is my, I have a wife. It's not just an introduction. It's a tactical meeting where they, and it's free. And so you should go to thefreedomgroup.co to book your free coaching call now and start your journey towards freedom.
If you watch porn, you need to stop. It is a matter of life and death. They will help you get off the craving for porn in a year or less, or they will work with you for free until you are. So it is literally the best case solution for someone who's addicted to pornography. This is for men. If you're a woman and you know a man in your life, just send him the link. Don't worry about it too much. Get him on a discovery call with these guys. They will help you, and it's not worth losing your soul over. So please go to thefreedomgroup.co. Check them out. Thank you to thefreedomgroup.co for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles.
Okay. This one is not even a question. This one is just someone sent you a request to come on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Skip that one. is the answer.
Hello, boys. Hope you're well. Listening to a latest episode, got an ad for HIV prevention. It was just an ad for condoms. I have no idea how podcast advertisements work.
But that one's from a priest in London.
Yeah, from a priest in London. We might not have as much control over the UK feed as we'd like.
Can we just pause and say that we are behind enemy lines if we are beamed directly to the phone of a priest in London? It's probably illegal for him to have typed that message. The fact that said something online against condom use is probably, they're probably at his door right now. You got a license to listen to that podcast?
Yeah, didn't Henry VIII make condoms the eighth sacrament of the Anglican Church or something? I don't know.
You think they just used like beaver skin or something back then?
Beaver skin? They certainly didn't.
Get it really thin. Roll it out.
So I'm gonna blow your mind. They didn't have beavers back then.
There were no beavers in 1500s?
Not in England, I can tell you that much. There also were no potatoes.
Can you tell me, first of all, how do you know when the beaver came to England? And second of all, why weren't the beavers there? Don't look it up. Don't look it up. No. You've asserted the knowledge.
I won't look it up. I've asserted the knowledge. You need to back it up. Beavers are from the New World. There were no beavers.
Wrong.
Were there beavers in Europe?
I don't know.
Are there beavers? Beavers are not native to Europe.
They were in England. How else could they have made the condoms if there weren't beavers there?
You know what? That's a rock solid argument. I can't refute it. I was floored to find out that potatoes were not introduced to Europe until we discovered America.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. And also pumpkins.
It's crazy to be Ireland and import the potato and then die from it.
Yeah, you know? That's crazy.
You're losing recipes over there. I like to think that the potato kind of came up, like as soon as the pilgrims landed, they were like, we got to get something. We got to get something together. Get that disgusting tuber that we never eat and put it in the cornucopia so we don't have to give them the good stuff.
They went to Squanto, who was already Catholic somehow, and they were like, tell us what we should eat, and Pocahontas was like, give him the potato.
Give him the potatoes.
Give him the potato. We're not going to
like,
tell him.
He's like hiding delicious venison behind him, and he's like holding out the potato.
Here's the potato. All right.
What was the question about? Oh, thank you, Father, for listening to the podcast. Sorry that there was HIV AIDS on the podcast.
I usually listen to the podcast. I usually am driving early in the morning down to the university to say TLM for the students.
Ooh.
You got a license for that? A question since I'm writing in, I've recently asked to be vocations director for my diocese. Any tips? Thank you, Father Luke.
I think you should have a pub night with all the... with all the lads, with the boys, and you could watch Chantham play footy. Do you think Manchester United is going to win the Champions Cup this year? Champions League. What else do they do over there? What freaking? What else do they got? Do you think we should open another mosque down the street?
Oh boy, my friend Father Zach, who I've been, we should have on the podcast. By the way, he's great. He just became the vocations director for our diocese, and he has been just like visiting every parish all the time.
Yes.
I don't know if you're going to be able to. He's only the vocations director. It sounds like you're probably going to be the vocations director and the chaplain and maybe a pastor of a parish. But he went to every, he's going to every parish all the time. What he's been doing with the bishop is going to the confirmation specifically as the MC, and he'll like talk to the eighth graders beforehand. I don't know. I think the number one reason, oh, I have an idea. This is something that he said. One thing that he's been doing is he's been asking the communities at the church, who do you think should discern the priesthood? And he's just collecting names from people in the parish. And then he takes those names to the bishop, and the bishop writes an invitation to that person by name, inviting them to come on a vocation.
I thought you were going to say the bishop just picks one out of the hat.
And they come in the night, and they put him in a polka dot handkerchief, and he throws them over his shoulder, and they hop on a train. The bishop writes them a letter and says, like, I'd like to invite you to discern the priesthood, or at least come on this retreat with us. And so, like, because the number one reason why someone becomes a priest is because they have a personal relationship with their pastor or with a priest, and it's higher if they have a relationship with the actual bishop. Rarely do guys just decide to become priests in a vacuum. So they should have a relationship with the bishop. They should be a known quantity by the bishop, and the bishop should invite them. It also makes the discernment process easier, because the bishop's like, I don't know if this guy can cut it, you know. Or this guy's great. We should, you know, remove every obstacle and get him into the seminary. So that's my advice. I believe it's called Called by Name. There's like a program, which of course is a program for a very simple concept, like writing letters to people. In the Catholic Church, there's always a program for it.
I don't know how big your budget is, but I think if you could maybe host some type of live podcasting event we've been to Heathrow. I got an overpriced sandwich that cost me 50 bob, and I think you could have us in there.
And you dropped a green bean on your iPad.
I dropped a green bean on my iPad, and I think you could have us there. And I think just that event alone could probably generate 1 to 3 vocations. And I think that'd be a lot.
I think that'd be worth it.
I do think a retreat is a great idea. I went on multiple discernment retreats when I was college aged, and I loved the basketball, and I loved the time for prayer, and I loved getting paired up with the other seminarians. That was really powerful for me when I was going through it, was seeing the guys who were 4 or 5 years ahead of me that were in seminary, who had made the choice, who wanted to go all of the way, and to see their zeal and their passion was really cool. So everything Patrick said, but I also think, can you get the seminarians at least for a weekend involved with some of the guys that you find, you know, out and about? Cause I think that find the cool ones. Don't find the, cause there are some seminarians you have to keep their back of house. There's some seminarians that are front of house. Yeah, everybody understands
there's dishwasher seminarians. Yes. You know, you keep them.
Yeah. So that would be my suggestion. But if you can scrape together, I don't know, 2,000 quid, fly Patrick and I over there in coach. And well, who knows what we could do? We could stir up all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Okay. Here we go. We're having a horrible dear podcast. We're having a horrible time figuring out where to go to Mass. Church. I work in the pastoral office at the Archdiocese. My wife worked between full-time and part-time at the parish for the past 7 years. They're not the closest parish, about 20 minutes away, but we embrace the community because she worked there and it's a great community. We have 3 kids under 5, and the Mass times at our church suck. The major issue we have is the long preaching tendencies of our Nigerian pastor. Uh-huh. An hour 20 minimum. Mass goes for an hour 20. And Mass times are bad for people with young kids. 8:30 a.m. is rough to get up. 11:15 Mass is during nap. We have about 10 Mass options that are closer in distance and more convenient, including the cathedral. 1 connect to our son's school, 2 other churches within biking distance of our home. but we love the community at our home parish and feel a sense of loyalty. However, the timing and length leave us grumpy and frustrated every week. We probably make it there once a month at best. What do? This is a weekly source of conflict and frustration. This is a good question.
Let's see here. Nigerian accent made easy. Okay, so if I wanted to say Xbox 360 in a Nigerian accent, I would say Eggs Bugs 360. That's what I just saw that on Reddit. I don't know if that helps at all, but that was my first thought.
Our priest is Ghanaian, and he's pretty easy to understand. But he's also been here for like 20 years. So
I think we've talked about this before. I think you go, especially when you have young kids, you just got to go to the place that is like the best, the least bad option.
Yeah.
That's probably the one that's closest to you, or it's the one with the most convenient mass time that doesn't run into nap time or like this. I mean, an hour 20 is just, it's just so long. Like if you are, mass is not about what you receive, it's about the sacrifice, blah, da, 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 da. But like if you're in the back the whole time carting kids around because they're exhausted and tired for the last 40 minutes of mass, it ruins the rest of your Sunday. So I think, I mean, just go find, don't be afraid to shop around. I know this is just scandalous to people, but
yeah,
you got to go to the place that's best for your family first and foremost.
If mass goes like an hour and one minute, like if there's like long announcements after mass, the kids start spiraling. It's like it's a decay. Josie'll start squirming. Leo starts running. When's donuts? I want to see Catherine. You know, just like it's all this nonsense. It goes fast. So I can't imagine having to sit through an hour 20 mass and then have what I can only assume is a 10-minute announcements afterwards. At 11:15 no less. So the kids are hungry and grumpy. Ugh.
My parish does this thing where they won't announce until the very end of mass. Usually it's coffee and donuts, but sometimes they'll have a special celebration and it's like these weird avant-garde pastries that they get, or it's like the Knights of Columbus are doing a gravy in biscuit breakfast. And you can just see all of the parents just go, because the thing that they've been bribing their children with all of mass is not going to be downstairs. There are no donuts when they do these special things. And it drives everybody insane because we've just suffered now. And now the kids are mad because we're leaving. Because I told you, if you're good, you get a donut. Now there's no donut. And I look like a bad guy. So I got to go to freaking Lamar's, which is $2 per donut. And the lady convinces me to get an apple cider. Doesn't matter. So I think you should go to the place that makes the most sense. And I really think people worry too much about all kinds of crap that doesn't matter. And I think this is one of those things, like just go to the place that's best for your kids. When they get older, you can find somewhere that's consistent. But for now, just take care of your kids. Take care of your wife. That's the only thing that matters. And don't stress about it.
Go for a little bike ride.
God knows what you need. He will take care of you.
8:15, 11:15 mass. Jeez.
Oh, those are just the worst times. 9 a.m. is still pretty hard because that's right smack during Peter's nap time or Henry's nap time. But it's only... The other option is like 11, which is way too late, or 7:30. It's like, we're not getting there at 7:30.
9:30 right now is killer for us, which is great. Josie and Leo are napping at the same time, which is helpful. So I'm sitting pretty at 9:30, baby. All right. This is the same PhD question, but it's a screenshot instead. Okay. What is the last one?
Let's see. So if I wanted to say McDonald's in a Nigerian accent, I would say McDonald's.
Yeah, that everyone knows that one.
Order Chinese is Hoda Chinese. This is great. There's just 10 examples of what to say, and it's useless. I would not be able to put a sentence together, and I've not heard a Nigerian speak, so I got to figure that out.
Okay. Advice. Okay, seeking advice on family. My wife and I were both raised Catholic and we were married in the Catholic Church. After marriage, we both, for different reasons, have felt disconnected from Catholicism but not from God. Our children were baptized, but have not received reconciliation or communion. I feel a strong calling to renew my faith in the Catholic Church and to move past the feelings that turn me away. My wife is far more stubborn. She is very pro LGBTQ and will not attend the Catholic Church unless the LGBTQ people are supported by the church. As a Catholic, can you raise a strong family if the house is divided?
So the question is my wife is a lib and I don't know what to do.
I guess so. They were both raised Catholic and both married in a Catholic church.
Here's the thing. I've seen this play out before. You just got to start going back to Mass. Your wife is going to be upset with you. You have to just not care, which is really hard. You got to take the kids. You got to say, I'm the head of the household spiritually. I'm going, I'm doing this. She's going to be mad about the gay thing. Give that just a couple of years anyway, and that'll probably go away because it's over. It's not happening, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of...
We've moved on. Yeah. So that might take care of itself, but also that gives you the opportunity to every Sunday and hopefully every day, pray for your wife, pray that God does something in her soul, live by example, become more virtuous, like all the things that would attract her to your way of thinking. You don't have to convince her of anything. You can just start living it. And odds are, I'm not going to guarantee anything. Odds are it's going to take care of itself.
Yeah. You're in the fortunate position that if the father goes to Mass with the kids by himself, the kids are much more likely to be Catholic.
Yeah.
Even more so if both parents go together. Now, that's because if both parents go together, sometimes the dad is still being forced. But the father has an outsized impact on the faith of his children. And so you have an advantage because the women typically follow the men, not vice versa. So you'll probably be okay. Do we have time for another question?
No, I think we should wrap it up. I want to get to the bonus podcast.
Dude, I want to go to the bonus podcast too.
We're going to the bonus podcast so bad. We got to record a beautiful ad for the beautiful people at thefreedomgroup.co.
And then we got to record the top of the show.
But I just want to thank everybody. The James McCann episode, instantly, within 3 days, top four episode all time for the podcast. So
our top three videos are just going to be three pictures of James McCann.
It's just James McCann, and that one video you did where you answered Protestant comments about Mary.
And then that's never it. Did anything ever.
And then
again.
Never did ever. It's like, oh, that was the most successful video we've ever done. Okay.
All right, never do that again. I knew that was going to happen too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just want to thank everybody. I love you guys. This is the last, I think this is going out on Sunday the 28th. So if you're listening to this on Sunday the 28th, you have two more days to enter the September sweepstakes. You join patreon.com/broapostles. You'll go into a drawing for a $100 Visa gift card. I can't forget to actually do that because otherwise I will get sued.
It'll be a lie. Yeah.
It'll be a lie. So make sure you join patreon.com/broapostles. I did a live stream this week. That was really fun for the people who are on Patreon. There's a lot of other cool things that are coming. So patreon.com/broapostles, check it out. And thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.